coming up on this month's programme, nails.
I looked around to see what it was, and there was this nail on the floor.
Dogs.
And the dog started barking and going crazy.
Doors.
It was like something really pushing me back, right. And I just could not shut it.
Owls. Hello and welcome to the FWI podcast. I'm web manager Michael Target.
And I'm farm life editor Tim Ralph.
After last month's incredibly popular Harper podcast, loads of you downloading that, we're trying something completely different this month. And I'm not just talking about Tim's hip-hop karaoke session the other night.
Thankfully, people can't listen to that on FWI. No, we've been to visit what could well be Britain's most haunted farmhouse.
No. Right, OK. Without further ado, here it is.
Right, so we've come up to Ferry Farm up in Lincolnshire. East Ferry is the village. We're in our search for Britain's most haunted farmhouse. And I've got with me Andrew and Mark Petit. Hi, guys.
Hi.
And they were the lucky chosen or unlucky the candidates for Britain's most haunted farmhouse. So welcome to the podcast and the webcast. You're very kind to have us.
Welcome.
And it's your farm, isn't it? It's been in your family for three generations, I understand.
That's right. That's correct. Yes, grandfather and father, yes.
Okay, that's right. When you first contacted us, you were talking about a period of activity. Can you tell us how long that's been going on for? What sort of period of time?
Well, it seems as though since I met Andrew, and Andrew's been living at the farm here, it's escalated to almost weekly events, certainly monthly events. The number of events and the variety of things that's happened has really got us to notice it and you know, comment on it.
And what kind of events are we talking about? Have you got a few examples?
Yeah, I mean, the first night I was actually here, I went and had a bath, got myself a bath. Mark was just going out to work at the time. He had to do a few jobs outside, so I told him to make sure that he locked the door before I went for a bath to make sure nobody came in. Anyway, the dog came upstairs with me because he always follows you around everywhere. So we went and lay down in the bedroom, and our bathroom is actually en suite to the bedroom. Just got myself in the bath, and the dog started barking and going crazy. And the first thing I thought of was we've got a Prowler in the house because Jim is so placid. He's a very placid dog. He never barks at anything, not in that vicious tone. And he was really scaring me, so I actually had to get out the bath, and I kept shouting him, you know, what was wrong. And I just had a really weird experience, and the dog was barking at something that obviously wasn't there. It looked like there was a figure or something coming towards us, and the dog was sort of protecting me. And my initial instinct was, there's somebody coming up the stairs. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought there was somebody obviously on the other side of the door, and the dog was sort of trying to protect me. And it was really starting to freak me out a bit. I couldn't keep the dog calm or anything. And just as soon as it had sort of happened, it had literally gone and the dog calmed down and there was nothing there. So I had to actually go downstairs, make sure that there was nobody in the house or whatever, because it really shook me up. And then I quickly went back and had a bath, and then obviously told Mark about it later on. But that was the first night I was actually here.
So the first night. And it's not, they're not isolated incidents, are they?
About 2 weeks ago, when I was actually coming up the stairs, and I got both my children, and I started to smell cigarette smoke.
Right.
Really, really... You know,
cigarettes, and neither of you smoke.
No, we never have anyone smoking in the house, and the locality of the house as well. You know, I knew all the windows were shut, but I thought that's very strange. It was as though somebody had been smoking in the house. The smell, it was so strong, it just made me feel sick. It was really, really powerful of cigarette smoke. And
how long did that last for?
It only lasted for about 5 or 6 seconds.
5 or 6 seconds, and then it
just
wasn't there
clear.
Anymore.
Yeah, I walked in and. The first thing my son said was, "What's that horrible smell, Mummy?" You know, and I said, "Oh, you know, I'm not quite sure, but you know, it was really strong cigarette smoke." And I went over to the bed, and that, you know, I sort of came back, and it was gone. It was just like it was never there.
There'd been nobody else in the house beforehand.
No, definitely not.
And the windows.
And the first thing I did was check the windows, both the back windows here. Which is that actually goes onto the riverbank, and there's no way anybody, even if there was smoking underneath the window, which is quite a way down, there's no way you would have got any cigarette smoke up here anyway. Mm. So it was very, very strange. Just came and went so quick, but it was really, really powerful smell.
Tell us about this force behind the door, then.
Yeah, I'd actually came up one afternoon to put my young son to bed. I'd got him in my arms, and I'd just literally come in into the bedroom door, and I turned round, and I went to shut the door like this, and it just felt as though there was, you know...
Sorry, some... I have to say that. I think our man Tim is behind... Yeah. Doing the force normally, so if you take your hand away, yeah, so that we can see how easily it shuts normally.
Yeah, that's so what happens normally. On this occasion, I'd just got to, you know, to a certain distance, I couldn't shut it. And what normally happens is, if you probably see when you shut the door, there's a bit of a gap.
Yeah.
So if you know the whole house had all its windows and doors open or something, you normally probably hear it all. Hear or feel a draft or something coming through.
But there was nothing. It was just
no. On this occasion, you know, I'd sort of got it to about there, it was like something really pushing me back, right, and I just could not shut it. So by that stage, I was getting a bit concerned because I'd tried it about six or seven times.
What happened then? Did you take your hand away?
Yeah. What I did was, as I was trying to shut it, I was trying to feel whether, you know, there was some wind, like there was a door open or anything. I couldn't feel anything. It was like, you know, normally if there was that much force on it, you'd be feeling a lot of draft. So I just sort of let go, and it didn't pull, you know, it sort of come to me a bit like that. So instant reaction is, you know, you sort of think it's going to hit me in the face.
You're still holding your son at this point?
Yeah, I've got my son in my arm like this. So it just sort of come flying towards me. So sort of instinct went like that, and then it just... Sure.
And it shut, as if it didn't have any pressure on it behind it at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's quite a few things that happened. It switched on and off just like that, didn't they?
Yeah.
The smell of the cigarettes, the force behind the door.
Yeah. Attention and the activity seems to focus more when you're in the house, Andrew. Right?
Hmm.
I mean, Mark, you mentioned it's sort of sporadic. Instance that you've encountered over the years, but in terms of the last 4 years or so, definitely seems to be focused more on when Andrea's around or on her own even.
It does. It's more with Andrea when Andrea's alone in the house as well. There's been only a couple of occasions that something's occurred when we've both been in the house to witness it together.
Mm.
So definitely it seems to be focusing on Andrea.
Now, you guys have got a bit of a theory, possibly, as to why that is. Something to do with maybe a previous owner or occupant of the house.
Mm.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, we've got a guy called Tom who actually lives in one of the farm cottages, and he's been in East Ferry all of his life, hasn't he? And he's 80 years old. And we kept having a few experiences like this, didn't we, and all the weird experiences, and we happened to be in the pub one night, and we got chatting to Tom, and I said, you know, do you know of any... weird experiences, we think the house might be haunted or something, you know. I said, we've been having these weird things going on, and he said, oh yes, you know, you probably get that, you know, I've heard about that, you know, I think it's old man Baron. And I said, well, who's this Baron character, you know? And he said, oh, it was one of the guys that used to live there before, and he never actually went into much detail at the time. And then it wasn't until it was Tom's 80th, probably about a month or so ago, wasn't it? End of August.
Tom's 80th birthday party, and one of the grandchildren was at the
party. An actual Baron himself was actually there, and it was Tom actually introduced me to him at the party, and I got mentioning it. He said, "Oh yes, you know, we've had some very strange experiences when we were there." And he said, "Oh, that would be my great great grandfather." And I said, oh, what sort of a chap was he? You know, why do you think it might be him? And he said, oh, he said, my grandfather didn't like women at all.
Right.
He was just like me, he said. And I said, well, that's nice, you know. And he said, I said, well, he must have been married because he'd had children, obviously. And he said, oh, yes, you know, the wife was there just to bear the children, you know. And,
right, okay.
And I said, oh. And I said...
But that would tie in with, you know, if you're thinking there was a presence that actually... and reacted to you coming into the house.
Right, so we're gonna go up the stairs now, and you guys have said that's a particular spot that you seem to.
I think of the whole house, it is the hot spot of the house.
Yeah.
Certainly as far as I'm concerned.
At the top of the landing. Should we go up and then we'll see if we can feel something, and then have a chat where if you point out where's the particular area.
I don't know if you've noticed when you walk in anyway that the temperature's It's a bit cooler.
A bit cooler,
this.
Yeah.
It's
a bit cooler,
but I think normally it's even colder than this. Sort of.
It's always when you get to about this bit here, you feel a change in the temperatures really strong. It's like, I don't know, it just seems to start and stop. You'll probably notice it as you come up.
Right, let's have a look. And Mark, you were saying it's kind of like something that's behind you.
I always feel that there's someone standing at the side of the window there.
Yeah, I've had that a couple of times where you think you have to sort of, whenever I get to the top of the stairs, I know we've got a stair gate, but I always have to look around.
Mm. Well, I'll often turn around and look over there just to reassure myself, because for me that spot is the one that really gets me. It really makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck.
Well, you feel it's cold, and I'm
freezing
now.
I don't feel as cold as I'm frozen. Normally, it feels a lot colder than tonight.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a bit of the hairs on the back of the neck, actually. Mm. Andrew, when you're on your own in the house and things happen, does it tend to be when you're in the bathroom or in this room?
On lots of occasions, I've actually been in the bathroom and, as you can tell, the door's very heavy, and I've literally heard, because that's quite a distinct sound, so
you've heard it turn.
I've literally heard that slam like that, literally loud slamming noise.
And it doesn't just pull open, does it?
No.
At all.
No.
You have to literally turn the
latch. I literally heard it turn and slam like that, and heavy. You can hear, it's quite distinct, floorboards walking to the bathroom.
Whilst you've been in the bathroom.
Whilst I've been in the bathroom.
These kind of things tie in perhaps to what we were saying earlier, is if this, perhaps it was this, the Baron great-grandfather playing tricks on you when you're particularly at home or in your area where you're getting ready or in the bathroom, and you feel quite vulnerable and he's kind of enjoying playing tricks in that way.
Yeah.
We're in the master bedroom now. We're going to start our stakeout. This is the, I'm sitting right in the corner where Andrew says the activity happens. That's where I've put the audio recorder right on the, where the mini disc player used to be, where it used to turn on and off by itself. And she says that there's sometimes a cold sensation just on the side of the bed. She can put it on her arm when in the middle of the night. Tim's over there.
I'm just sat on the bottom of the bed in the middle of the room, and this is the area next to where I'm standing where the floorboards have been making lots of strange noises, and Andrew's been disturbed on quite a few occasions when she's been in the bathroom, convinced that her husband's been walking across the room when in fact he's been miles away on the farm. It's very dark and very, very quiet at the moment, and the plan is we're just going to sit here and see what, if anything, happens.
If anything happens. I mean, I don't know about you, Tim, but going up those stairs, I certainly got up this time when there was only a couple of us and the lights were off, and it's much later now, a real cold sensation up the back of my neck.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark said that every time he walked up those stairs, every time since he was a child, he felt as if someone was looking down on him. And I walked up them and I didn't want to feel anything, and I was convinced I wouldn't. And halfway up, I felt a shiver go down the back of my spine.
It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's
not like there's a draft or anything. It just happens uncontrollably.
Genuinely had that feeling again when I shivered, and I didn't just shiver in my neck or in my back, I actually shivered the full length of my body, and I felt myself cold momentarily right down to my feet. And it's very peculiar because we're not in a cold room.
It's he said there's some pockets of temperature, but the house is double glazed.
Okay, right, we're now we spent some time in the master bedroom. Didn't pick up much there other than some temperature changes. And we spent some time
in the child's bedroom and had some some doors opening. That was very strange. The door kept on opening twice. It happened, didn't it, Tim?
Yeah, we were just sitting there, the three of us, in perfect silence, just watching and wondering if anything was going to happen. And the door, on two occasions, actually not just opened, but opened probably 6 or 8 inches. It almost sprang open.
And there's no breeze, and it's double glazed. And that's inexplicable with the temperature changing. But the door springing open... And then we tried it. We tried to replicate that, and it just wouldn't happen. It's a very firm latch.
Yeah.
At one point, we couldn't actually open the door.
It's a solid
door.
It was
stuck, like almost. And yet, you know, that's thrown us a bit, I think, hasn't it, Tim?
Yeah, I think probably an hour ago, we were still unconvinced, and certainly I was still quite sceptical. I've been slightly spooked and unnerved by this sense of. Cold pockets of air around the house.
Yeah, it's a very strange sensation.
That's just odd. But I think actually seeing that door done there is generally quite... It's quite spooked me. I feel slightly on edge now.
We've now come out of the boys' room and we're on the landing where Mark says, and I'm standing in exactly the spot, and I must say I've got a cold sensation happening right now. When Mark says that he feels a presence when he comes up the stairs almost every time.
He always says he feels as if someone's standing at the top of the stairs.
Looking over.
Where we are.
Yeah.
Looking over, looking down on him. And he says every single time he has to look back over his own shoulder and check no one's there, which is a slightly disturbing image.
I mean, I've got an old near permanent kind of spook up the back of my neck at the moment. But this landing itself is quite strange. I mean, it's quite a strange area. There's a huge grandfather clock lurking in one corner, a very odd kind of triangular alcove that I'm standing virtually in.
Yeah, it's a strange.
Can you see that?
It's weird. We're standing here looking.
Can you see that moving?
I can't see that moving.
Is there a breeze?
Breeze at all coming in through there.
Oh, is that rocking then?
There's no breeze coming through at all.
I can't feel any breeze, it shouldn't be rocking. The one on the other side isn't. That's very strange. We're standing next to curtains, and one of the curtain ties that hangs, it's hanging loose at the moment because the curtains are pulled.
It's just moving.
It's just rocking. It's slowed down now.
It's still moving. And the curtain next to it, the curtain's 2 inches away from it. And the curtain isn't moving at all.
The curtain's not moving. There's no breeze.
The curtain tie is actually physically moving. I can see it moving.
Okay, we've now come back into the master bedroom. And we're going to ask Andrea to call the spirits and see if we get any reaction.
Is anybody here with us? Would you like to make yourself known? Can you please show us a sign? A noise? Anything at all?
Try again, Andrea.
If there is anyone here with us, would you please let yourself be known? Could you show us a sign? We don't mean you any harm. Talk to us if you like. Please show us a sign.
Right, so here we are then. It's now the early hours of the morning, and we've finished our night at Ferry Farm. Interesting night, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting night. It's been quite a long night, and at times I have to say quite a spooky night.
Yeah, I mean we've heard all about the incidents, and that in itself was quite, you know, spooky. They're just the sheer weight of activity that they seem to have been experiencing.
And then we had a go ourselves, and I wasn't expecting to see anything, you know, or feel anything, but there was several things. The temperature was very, very strange. The temperature change was very strange throughout the house.
Yeah, I mean, there's indisputably there were patches of very cold air, and there was no discernible pattern to them. You could walk around the house and you could hit a block of cold air, and it wasn't just cold that it made you feel cold. Yeah, and the other thing, of course, that I think really unnerved me, Mike, I don't know about you, was that business with the door.
The door. I honestly couldn't explain why that happened, because we tried the door and it stuck. And it wasn't the kind of latch that just lets go, was it?
No,
it wasn't. And it happened twice.
It happened twice.
And almost the whole evening built to that, as to a climax. It was like the temperature changes, the spooky feelings at the back of the neck got more and more intense, didn't it? And it culminated in that the door opening twice.
Yeah,
there.
That was very scary. And I think for me, I think my lasting memory of the night will be at the end of the evening, when we got Andrew and Mark together in their room, where many, many of these whole catalogue of incidents had taken place, and Andrea called upon the spirit to present itself, and she asked it to make a sign, and I think we all sat there, the five of us, sat there in silence and abject fear for a few seconds.
Just wishing, almost, you know, you didn't know what to wish for at that point, I think.
No.
But to me, I mean, It's not the biggest or the most gothic of farmhouses, but in my experience anyway, and the experience of the tales that have come in, I'd probably put money on this being Britain's most haunted farmhouse.
Yeah, I think Ferry Farm.
Yeah,
in Ferry Farm possibly is Britain's most haunted farmhouse.